If you're following along on your script, we just finished up F, masturbatory preliminary matters. We did wait for the respondent to show up, and we still have no respondent. So, we know she was notified by multiple means. Okay, so now we have a hearing of this nature. Differs from a court proceeding. The technical rules of evidence do not apply. Reliable hearsay evidence is admissible. The board will entertain objections concerning irrelevant, repetitious, or otherwise inadmissible evidence. However, the board is the sole judge of the weight given to the evidence received. In a disciplinary proceeding, the state bears the burden of proof and shall go first and present its case. We have no respondent to present a case, so they will not. Each party is allowed to present evidence, cross-examine opposing witnesses, and make a closing argument. After it hears all the evidence and the arguments of the parties, the board will deliberate and decide whether to dismiss the case or take appropriate disciplinary action. Does the state wish to make an opening statement?
I do. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, good afternoon, and thank you for your time. The ability to practice veterinary medicine in the United States is considered a privilege that is granted by the government of each state acting through their elected officials. Arizona, through their elected representatives, have been regulating the practice of veterinary medicine since 1923. For the last 99 years, the privilege of practicing veterinary medicine in Arizona has come with the responsibility of making sure that you do so within the laws enacted by our elected representatives. When a veterinarian fails to do so, they call into question their ability to continue to have the right or the privilege, I should say, to practice veterinary medicine. In this case, Dr. Ridler has engaged in a pattern of conduct that I believe demonstrates that she no longer wishes to accept the responsibilities that come with being a licensed veterinarian in the state of Arizona. In September of last year, the board issued her an order. Dr. Ridler has failed to comply with its initial terms and has indicated that she has no intention to comply with any of its terms. That's why we're here this afternoon, because Dr. Ridler has failed to comply with the board order. At the conclusion of the state's case, or I should say at the conclusion of the hearing, the state is going to ask that you consider adopting the factual allegations set forth in the complaint notice of hearing that was issued in this matter as your findings of fact, and the allegations of unprofessional conduct as your conclusions of law. With that, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the state is ready to call its first witness.
Thank you, and please call your first witness.
The state would like to call Victoria Whitmore.
You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
And before I start asking Victoria some questions, I am going to be referring to a number of exhibits, and it looks like they may have already been distributed.
Yes, sir.
I just want to make sure everybody has a copy of the exhibits. Okay, thank you.
Excuse me. There is a black object next, which was just pointed out to me, next to the recycle bin in the back of the room. Does it belong to anyone?
I think those are sandbags.
Yeah, they hold the door.
They hold the door.
Oh, thank you. Never heard of such.
Victoria, can you please state your full name for the record?
Victoria Whitmore.
And is it okay if I call you Victoria?
Yeah.
And Victoria, what do you do for a living?
I have had the privilege of serving as the executive director of the Arizona Veterinary Medical Board for the past 10 years.
And you can just summarize some of the things you do as the board's executive director?
Sure. I particularly oversee all aspects of the agency, including complaints and investigations, licensing and inspections, and of course, the overall agency functions.
And as part of that, you also monitor compliance with board orders?
Yes, that's a large part of what I do as well.
And are you familiar with Dr. Redler?
Yes, for several years, Dr. Redler has made herself known to the agency.
And she's a licensed veterinarian?
Yes.
And in September of 21, did the board issue her a order?
Yes, they did.
And is Exhibit 1 a true and correct copy of that order?
Yes, it is.
And can you just summarize what the terms of the order?
Sure. The order included, as far as the order, her license was placed on probation for 1 year, subject to completing 6 hours of continuing education. 3 hours were in medical ethics, and 3 hours she was required to complete a race-approved regulation of the profession course. She was also required to pay a $1,000 civil penalty by the end of the probation period.
And as part of the order, was she required to submit a CE plan?
Yes, as well, she was required to submit a CE plan within 60 days of the effective date of the order.
And what is a CE plan?
A CE plan is a continuing education plan that is supposed to include the name, the provider, the number of hours, and a summary of the continuing education course that the person would like to take in order to fulfill the requirements of the order.
And in this case, did Dr. Redler submit a CE plan?
She did not, no.
And when you discovered that she was waiving of submitting her CE plan to the board, what, if anything, did you do?
Shortly after the deadline for her to submit the CE plan, I emailed her just asking for an update on when she intended to submit it.
And is Exhibit 2 a true and correct copy of that email?
Yes, it is.
And is this something that you would do in other cases where somebody hasn't timely submitted something?
Yes, I would just typically reach out to them informally and ask for an update.
And did she respond to your emails, your email?
She did. She actually responded with 2 emails within about 6 hours of each other. The first one was on February 6th, 2022.
And go ahead and start.
Would you like to describe what the response said?
Just generally, if you could. Okay. And did you know the time that she had sent it?
It's at 4:55 a.m.
Okay. And this was her first response to that email?
It's the first of 2, yes.
And in it, did she indicate that she wasn't going to be submitting a CE plan?
She did. It's a lengthy 3-page email where she indicated that she does not take orders from the board, so to speak.
And maybe at this time, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I could ask that we either pause and allow the board members to read the email in its entirety, or if I could ask that you just do so at some point before your deliberations.
Let's take a few minutes right now, and then if I have a question for our counsel.
Sure.
In the past, I think I've had the prosecuting counsel ask me each time we came to one of the exhibits, I want to admit this into evidence.
Sure, so you could do this 2 ways. Mr. Harris could, and I don't know if he's prepared to lay the foundation for each exhibit and then ask for it to be admitted, but because she's not here and she's not contesting it,
okay,
you could at the beginning or right now just admit all of the exhibits into evidence, and then he wouldn't need to do that.
Okay, so.
So it
I just
probably be
say that, or he asked me and I say, without exception, it's admitted.
You can just state on the record, you know, the respondent is not present because there are no objections. I'm going to go ahead and move all of the exhibits into evidence at this time.
All right. Then, since the respondent is not here, there are no objections, I am going to move all the exhibits into evidence.
That would be exhibits 1 through 10.
10,
correct.
Now, did that give everybody enough time to finish reading those three pages? Yeah, we've read it. Disturbing this time as it was last. State wish to continue?
Yes, with your permission.
Thanks. Please.
Victoria, I believe you said that you received multiple replies to your email that day. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And is exhibit for the second email you received?
Yes, it is.
Can you just briefly summarize what that's something that told you to submit?
In this email, which was received on February 6th at 9:32 a.m., she basically expresses her opinion on the board's ability to regulate veterinary medicine. And at the end, in a crass way, she indicates that she's not going to comply with the order.
And based upon her indications of what she how she viewed the board order, what, if anything, did you do?
To prepare for the next board meeting, I drafted a memo to provide for the board with this information.
And is exhibit by, I'm sure, the correct copy of that memo?
Yes.
So you sent her an email asking her, where's her CE plan? She responded in those two emails indicating that she, in essence, wasn't going to comply with the board order. And then you scheduled it for a board review?
Yes, that's what happened.
And this note was prepared in preparation for that?
Yes.
Was it presented to the board at the February meeting?
Yes, that's correct.
Were you present at the February meeting?
Yes.
Was Dr. Ridler?
No.
Was she notified?
Yes, she had been sent a letter.
And you presented this memo to the board?
Yes, that's correct.
And you recall what the board did?
The board voted to open, yes, open a case for non-compliance of the order.
And that case was assigned number 2294?
Yes.
Good answer. And what did the board do next? The board staff?
The board staff did open case 2294 and sent her a letter of inquiry asking her to respond to this new complaint.
As exhibit six of the letter?
Yes.
And there appears to be a portion of the letter that's been redacted, is that correct?
Yes.
And is that because, why is that?
It was related to another case.
Thank you. Do you know if Dr. Rittman responded to this letter?
She did.
And is exhibit seven a copy of that letter?
Yes.
And again, it looks like this letter's been redacted, is that correct?
Yes.
And why was that?
For the same reason, it was related to an unrelated case.
Did she also though address her intentions with respect to 2196?
Yes, she specifically said that, no, she's not going to pay a fine or do any continuing education.
And did this matter go back to the board?
It did, yes.
And I believe it was their April meeting, or March meeting?
It must have been March.
And were you present?
Yes.
And was Dr. Rittman present?
No.
And was she notified of the meeting?
Yes, she was notified of the meeting.
And do you know what the board did at that meeting?
The board voted to move the case to a formal hearing today.
And can I ask you to take a look at state's exhibit eight?
Yes.
And is this a true and correct copy of the complaint notice of hearing that was issued?
Yes.
And I know that in the preliminary matters, you addressed how the complaint was served statutorily. What is the board required to do with respect to notifying licensees of hearings?
To send the notice by certified mail.
And in this case, the board did that?
We did, plus more.
And what was that more?
We sent it by regular mail and it was emailed to her as well.
And during the preliminary discussions regarding service, you indicated that you believe she received it.
Yes.
What is that really based on?
She had emailed me a request for documents related to the case.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I have no further questions for Victoria. And with the admissions of the state's exhibits, the state has no further evidence to submit in this matter.
So this concludes the evidentiary portion of the administrative hearing. The board will now hear closing arguments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. As I mentioned in my opening statement, the practice of veterinary medicine is a privilege. With that privilege comes responsibilities. One of those responsibilities is to make sure that you conduct yourself in accordance with the state statutes and the rules that are promulgated based upon those state statutes. When a licensee demonstrates that they are unable to do so, it calls into question their ability to be regulatable. I would submit to you that in this case, the best evidence that Dr. Rittman is unregulatable are the emails that she sent to the board in response to their attempts to find out whether or not she was going to comply with the board order. I think she made her intentions on what it means to her to be a licensed veterinarian in the state of Arizona very clear. And I would ask that you consider adopting the factual allegations set forth in Exhibit 8 as your findings of that, the allegation of unprofessional conduct as your conclusion of law. And then after doing so, I would ask that you pause and ask to hear from board staff if Dr. Riddler had any, has had any priors before determining what is the appropriate order to issue in this manner.
All right, so having heard the testimony and reviewed the evidence, the arguments of the parties, the board will now discuss the case. We can begin with a general discussion or entertain motions. Please take note that we need to specifically articulate what we're doing and why we're doing it. So it's in the record. First item for discussion is the findings of fact. The complaint makes factual allegations, section 8, pages 4 and 5. And we'll now discuss if the state has proven those allegations.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, probably a little bit out of order, but I forgot to point out that with respect to the factual allegations, there is a typo in paragraph 4. It indicates in paragraph 4 that the informal interview was conducted in 2022. It should have been 2021. So to the extent that you may adopt that finding, if you could do so with the corrected date, that would be appreciated.
2021.
I'm sorry.
The very first one under factual allegations.
Yeah, on page 4, paragraph 4, where it starts out on August.
That should 18th. Be 2021.
Yes.
So there's three options, basically. The state has proved the case, they've proved part of it, or they failed to prove the case.
I believe the state proved the case, and I would be inclined to make a motion finding section 8, the factual allegations, pages 4 and 5 as our findings of fact. Noting number 4 was August 18th of 2021.
And you actually have a script if you want to read that script. It's on page 5A.
That the board finds that the state has demonstrated by a preponderance of evidence that the factual allegations in the complaint. I move that the board adopts these allegations as the board's finding of fact.
Second that.
And a motion on the floor and a second. That includes the change of the date in paragraph 4 to August 18, 2021. That correction.
This can be a voice vote because we're not at discipline yet.
Okay. Any discussion? I guess we're all inclined the same way. Let's do a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes. Next up. Next item for discussion is the conclusions of law. The complaint alleges violations of law on page 5. The board will now discuss whether the findings of fact that which we have just adopted constitute a violation or violations of our statutes or rules. We basically have the same choices. All, part, or none.
Can I make a motion?
Sure.
I move that the board finds that the findings of fact constitute a violation of the statutes and or rules as set forth in the complaint and that the board adopt the alleged violations of law as the board's conclusion of law.
Second.
There's a motion on the floor and a second. Is there any discussion on the conclusions of law? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And that motion passes, and we have adopted those conclusions of law. The final issue for discussion in the board's order is the board's order. The board may consider the following actions pursuant to statute. A, a decree of censure. B, order of probation with specific terms and conditions, including temporary suspension for no more than 30 days, or the restriction of the respondent's license to practices of licensed veterinarian. C, civil penalty in the amount of not more than $1,000 per violation. D, suspension, and E, revocation.
And at this juncture, you may want to hear from board staff about any prior disciplinary history.
And staff, can we hear about any prior history?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. So starting from current time to the past. So of course we have case 2196, the violation in that was just for failure to maintain a premises license for 2 years. And I had previously discussed that she was placed on probation and required to do CE and pay a civil penalty. In 2022, she was issued a letter of concern related to failure to timely respond to a complaint. In May of 2017, she entered into a consent agreement where the violations were related to failure to complete the 20 credit hours of board-approved CE in order to renew her license, and she was required to pay a civil penalty of $50. In March of 2015, she was issued a letter of concern regarding the failure to report a charge within 10 days after the charges were filed and failure to disclose the charges on her veterinary renewal application as required. In 1999, she was issued a letter of concern for operating a vaccine clinic without holding a premise license.
Any discussion or motion or any questions on what those options are?
Well, we've clearly from the history have a history of failing to comply and failing to respond. It's a pattern behavior. So it's not just the one case before us, but the history of this behavior.
But remember, we need to be specific. And I think the state said it best when they said unregulatable, and in her own words, repeatedly, especially in the latest emails, made it quite clear that she did not consider herself to be under any owing compliance to anybody or anything other than herself. Used some colorful language, called out one board member specifically by name.
Personally, like in the discussion, I would find just with the history of non-compliance, the admittance of not being regulatable, her expressed opinion against her dissatisfaction with the board and how it operates and that it's not legal, I would be leaning more towards revocation of the license.
You're always leaning or inclining. Can't you just pick something?
I know we're in discussion. I can make a motion that we revoke her license, and I don't know if I have her license number right from. License number 2059.
Is there any other discussion? Either comments or specificity? Other board members would like to add? Seeing none, let's do a roll call.
Then we have a second.
I'll second that.
Okay. That'd be a good idea to have a second.
Okay.
We have a motion on the floor, any second, to revoke the license for Dr. Redler. Any other discussion? Let's do a roll call.
Okay, Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger is an aye. Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Loki?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Sullivan?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
And Dr. Wright is absent. Motion passes.
The ayes have it. Motion passes. We'll revoke the license 2059. This concludes the formal hearing. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served on the parties. The parties will have further appeal rights. It will be explained in the board's order. This concludes this matter, and thanks everybody for attending today.